Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
I'm going to ask you guys to stand out of respect for God's word. We are in John chapter 21. I've asked Pastor Debbie to help me with this. We're going to start at verse 3. We're going to read through verse 17. I'll read the first verse and you will follow Pastor Debbie out loud with the verses following. Hear the word of the Lord. Simon said, I am going fishing. We'll come to you, they all said. So they went out in a boat and they caught nothing all night. Verse 4.
At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied.
She got so excited. She just kept
read yours.
Reading.
I'm
praise
so sorry.
The Lord. You get two preachers up here, you're going
to
go.
That's called show jacking.
All right, all right. You go ahead in verse 6, they'll follow you. Keep going.
Verse 6. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it.
Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic and for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed for shore. Verse 8.
The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore.
When they had got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over charcoal fire and some bread. Verse 10.
Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said.
So Simon Peter went aboard, dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net had not torn. Verse 12.
Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord.
Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish.
This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead.
After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him.
Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said.
A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Let's pray. I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, will be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Well, today we're starting a new series for 3 weeks. We're going to look at the mission of the church. I do that every fall, and this is only my third time doing it because I haven't been here as long enough to do it more than that. But the reason why I do the mission of the church is because vision leaks. Anybody with me? Vision leaks. And an important question we must ask ourselves in this season of life is this. Why does KCC exist? Why are we here? If we don't answer that question, we will really struggle. And I would say there are a lot of churches that are struggling today. They do not know why they exist. And I think it's clear from Scripture that we know why we exist. For those of you who are newer to the church and for those of you online, I would say this. Those around know exactly what our mission is. It is to what? To know Him and to make Him known. Let's say that again. To know Him and to make Him known. That is what we are about. Today we're going to look at that part of the mission to know Him. Question, do you love Jesus? Yes. Let me ask it again. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you know how to love Jesus? There is the tough question. Let's be honest today, loving Jesus. Wait a minute, I can't see him, I can't touch him. How do I love something I can't see and I can't touch? Has anybody ever thought this before? I remind you of a story of one of Jesus's disciples. Thomas said after he died, I'll never believe that he rose until I see him and I touch him. And the moment he said that, Jesus showed up and he said to Thomas, touch and see, it is real. And he said to Thomas, Thomas, you believe because you see and because you touch. But then he prayed for all of us and he said, blessed are all of those who come after you, that's me and that's you, who have not had this opportunity, I'm paraphrasing, but still believe. That's the world we live in today. How do we love Jesus? Well, the first thing we must answer is why. We love Jesus because that's what he commanded us to do. Did you know that? Luke chapter 10, verse 27, he kind of summarized the Old Testament and the New. He said, you want to know what your purpose is? You want to know what your life is about? It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is what it's all about. And everything else will follow in order. How are you doing with that? How am I doing with that? You see, we can't begin to know him until we start to love him. We can't know him without loving him. Yet we live in a day where we say love so flippantly. Love is love. Love wins. Love is never wrong. Well, let's kind of figure out what that all means. Because I believe it's possible to have a wrong type of love. We can love selfishly. We can love abusively. And we see clearly, the Bible tells us, the kind of love we're supposed to have and the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated. The Bible gives us all these descriptions of what love is, of knowing him, but he gives us the foundation of saying it is agape love, the unconditional love. I choose to love you. Not that I feel in love with you. That's why we have so many divorces. I don't feel in love. I've fallen out of love. But agape love says, I choose to love you regardless of what you do and what you do not do. This is the Bible's call to us today to love. But here you sit and here I preach. And if we're really honest with one another, we would say, you know what? I struggle to love Jesus. I say amen to what you just said, but I struggle to love Jesus. Why? Well, several reasons. Pastor, if you knew my hurt and my pain, if you knew my present and my past, I struggle to love Jesus because of that. I struggle to love Jesus because if I'm honest, I have disappointment with God. I have disappointment with God. Unmet expectations. He has not done what I've expected him to do. I struggle to love Jesus because I don't understand what a relationship with Jesus is. I struggle to love Jesus because I don't put Jesus as a number one priority in my life. I struggle to love Jesus because I simply don't know how, and I struggle to love Jesus because I don't want to accept all of his teachings. What is your reasoning? I want you to know today, if you're online or if you're in this place, my one metric of success as the lead pastor of KCC is this, that more people will fall in love with Jesus, period. That's my metric of success. If more people can truly understand what this actually means, then I'm succeeding as a pastor. All the other stuff is trimming compared to this foundational truth for all of us. So let's learn from Peter. We're gonna learn from him over the next couple of weeks. And we look at this passage, you still have your Bibles open in John 21, one of the most powerful of all passages. It's powerful. The first thing that we see here, my first point is this, loving Jesus is our foundation. Somebody say foundation. Say it again, foundation. Now we all know a foundation is really, really important, don't we? Jesus kind of explained it on the Sermon on the Mount. You all have two homes. They look exactly the same when the sun is shining. They look good. But when the storms come, and they will come, you're gonna know which house is built on a rock and which house is built on the sand. And if you have no foundation when the storm comes, your house, your life will fall with a great crash, Jesus says. So build your house on the foundation. Loving Jesus is our foundation. I don't know what your story has been or what it has not been, but I can tell you in my own life, that foundation, that anchor, there are times that I am roped to that love. And life is brutal. Anybody with me? And it's not fair. And your emotions will betray you. And it will tell you things you do not want to hear. Anybody been there? And in that moment, my own experience, as I'm anchored to the loving foundation of Jesus, I'm blown this way, and I'm blown that way, and I'm all over the place. But when it's all said and done, and that storm passes, and they do, guess where I'm at? I'm at the exact same spot, because loving Jesus is the foundation that holds me when nothing else can hold me. Can I get an amen? Well, if you're still open there, look at this incredible moment where Peter realized that loving Jesus was foundational. In verses 7 and 8, let me give you the backdrop. He wasn't really, really excited at this point in his life. He saw himself as a failure. He said, I give up. I quit. He'd already denied Jesus 3 times, right? He was the leader of the pack, and he left. He went back to what he knew. I'm going fishing. Was he successful according to the passage? No, they didn't catch a thing. And guess what? Even though he didn't want to lead, all of the people still followed him. He couldn't get away from people. But he wasn't feeling really well about himself. And then in verse 7 and 8, he hears that voice. And he hears the voice he thought he'd heard before. And in John, it says, in my translation that we read, the one whom Jesus loved, said, it is the Lord. That's all Peter needed. In that moment, you look at verse 8, and what does he do? He does crazy acts. He does crazy love. The boat is over 100 yards out. It just takes a few moments. Not Peter. He jumps into the water. He's going after him. You see, when you have this foundational love, you will do things that other people will think is crazy and insane. It drives you to do things that you otherwise would never do because of something that has happened inside of your life. Peter had forgotten all about that because he was focused on his denial and the death. And I want you to realize when he heard that voice, something happened inside of him in that moment, and there it was, that foundational love of Jesus. It was there, and he jumps into the water. He had missed that intimacy of Jesus, and he was like, I'm not going to miss it again. And he went after it. It's interesting, isn't it? This time when he jumps out of the boat, guess what? He's not walking on the water. He's swimming, right? He's swimming. And in this moment, Peter is sad. He's discouraged. He's ashamed. Prior to his death, he had all this anticipation, did he not? I'm gonna be the greatest. I'm gonna sit at his right, the right side of him. I'm gonna be his man. And it all blew up at the end. And here he finds himself engaging with the one who's always loved him. Let me give you another example. That's not in John 21, but Philippians 3. His name was Paul. Paul had it all, did he not? In the eyes of the world, he had arrived. He was there. He was the one that we'd say, this is who we model after. Not the church, because he was out to destroy the church, right? But he had it all, and he didn't encounter Jesus on a shore by a sea. He met him on a road, didn't he? We looked at that when we were going through the book of Acts. And he saw Jesus, and it changed everything about him. And in Philippians chapter 3, he's like, all this good stuff I have, and it is good, I consider that it is rubbish compared to loving him. Not that it is bad, but it is rubbish. That is, as I've said to you before, that in the Greek is literally translated cow dung. Everything is cow dung in comparison to loving Jesus. What happened inside of Paul was that he encountered what he was created for. Not only did he give compare the good with loving Jesus, if you go to Corinthians, he even starts to describe, you know what? I was beaten over and over again. I was beaten so bad they thought they had killed me. I was thrown in prison. Over and over, all these things. What causes anybody to give up all of this and go and suffer when they didn't have to. It's this amazing foundation of loving Jesus that changes it all. You and I need to understand that we ask the question, what occurred in these men's life that changed them so much? It was the supernatural moment. I'm wondering whether or not you've experienced it. I ask the question, have you? You see, 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. I can only tell you from my own experience, and it was different than Peter and Paul, but before that, I've had two women love me well, my mother and my wife. But as they have loved me, even their ability to love me is still flawed because they're human. But it wasn't until I met Jesus, it wasn't until I met him, his spirit coming down and descending upon in my spirit, that everything started to make sense. It was a supernatural experience. And I am convinced today, for those who can hear my voice, there are a lot of you, the vast majority of you sitting here, you've asked Jesus into your life. You've received the gift of salvation for sure, but you've never experienced this foundational love. Therefore, you struggle over and over again of maintaining this relationship that you hear me preach week in and week out. My prayer is that you today would experience this supernatural experience from God. Why? Because you may hear me preach about Peter and talk about Paul and even add my life into the equation, and you think, "But, Pastor, you don't know about me." Let me remind you what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 2, verse 11. God does not show favoritism, not just for a few. It's just not, we think that certain people find a corner in God, and somehow as a result, they get this incredible love relationship. That's not true. He says, I have no favorites. Good news today. He loves all of you. And he wants a relationship with all of you and a loving relationship, regardless of where you have been, regardless of what you have done. This is the foundation that will hold every single one of us once we come to this point. Remember, we will never know him until we start to love him. We need to come as we are. And as I said already, the challenge for many of us is that we are afraid to trust him. We only go so far. Many of you do that in all your relationships, even those of you who are married. You only go so far because it's a protective measure. You're not going to be hurt again. And I'm saying, may the Holy Spirit break that down, because you were created to receive love and you were created to give love. Can I get an amen? Trust him. There is one that will never let you down. There was one who will never, never disappoint. He is consistent from the beginning until the end. I am convinced that there will be many people who will stand before God, and they will say to God why they said no to Jesus. And they will say, well, it was those people in the church and how inconsistent they were and how hypocritical they were, and their words didn't match their actions. And the Lord Jesus is going to look at them directly in the love that he has, and he's going to say, well, why did you look at them? I ask you, look at me. Don't look at anybody else. The key point is this. Loving Jesus is the first step in knowing him. Do you want to love Jesus today? Anybody with me, do you want to love Jesus today? Keep your Bibles open. The second point is obvious. Loving Jesus is the foundation, but number two, loving Jesus is not based upon your performance. This is a tough one. Loving Jesus is not based on your performance. Somebody say freedom. Freedom. Say it again, freedom. Freedom. Powerful verses here. We're gonna be here for the remainder, verses 15 to 17 that Debbie and I read. And Jesus asked Peter those incredible questions. Peter, do you love me? Why did he ask them? He's the Son of God. He already knows. The question was not for Jesus. The question was for Peter, because Peter was trapped. He was trapped in his past experience, in his failure, and in his denial, and that he ran away. Some of you are sitting here today, and some of you are online. You've done some really, really bad stuff, and even recently. And Jesus is saying to you right here and right now, for those of you who can hear my voice, Do you, Dave, love me? Do you love me, Melanie? Do you love me, Debbie? Do you love me, Ben? Do you love me? He's asking the same question as he asked Peter. And depending on where you come from, you have this works mentality, this performance trap. I'm always caught up into it. It is a problem of mine, I must confess, as your pastor. And what do I mean by this? I kind of think that when I'm doing really, really good, you know what that means? Like all the things I should do. And I also, oftentimes I'll say this to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, did you see that one? How about that one? Do you see all the sacrifices I've done? Do you see where I've served you and all that I've done? And he's looking at me and he's like, son, I love you regardless. Whether you ever did this or didn't do this, you and I need to understand that we get caught in this performance trap. It's prevalent all around us. Islam teaches that you can never know for sure that you go to heaven. They hope that your good will outweigh your bad. So you try. Other than dying in jihad, you have no assurance of God's love and eternity. You just try and you work. Buddhism teaches reincarnation. So I just keep trying. I'm in a cycle and eventually I'll get it right. It's all about works. Humanism, same way. And many people of the faith, exactly the same way. It is not based on your works or your performance. The love of Jesus is final and it is complete. And it is dangerous when we all of a sudden think we're doing really, really good because it's a setup. Because eventually you're gonna crash. And when you crash, then you're gonna say, oh, Jesus doesn't love me anymore, just like Peter in the boat. Many of you who hear me right now, you went fishing a long time ago and you're still in the boat. And Jesus is saying, get out of the boat. I'm calling you. I love you. Can you jump in the water and swim towards Jesus? It's not about what you do. It's all about what he did. Can I get an amen? Amen. In my own life, I struggle with this performance. Not about just the sacrifices. Can I be honest with you? I always am. I try to be because I think the gospel's relevant that we're real. I have a really hard time ever watching myself preach, ever. I think that's pretty normal. But when I watch myself, all I see is that dude really sucks. My kids have said to me recently, Dad, there is a truth that the Holy Spirit actually exists because you destroy the English language and you had the ability to learn another language on top of that. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit, because you sure can't do it. And I had that even last night. What you don't know is that every Saturday as I go to bed, I wake throughout the night to pray for you. And then I get attacked. There's an incredible warfare that happens every single time I stand in here because truth is coming forward. And then last night it was, man, you really, really stink at preaching. And I started saying, well, it really doesn't matter whether I mess up or not. What matters is that I am loved and whether the anointing and the blessing of the Holy Spirit is upon us. Can I get an amen, church? Maybe you struggle with it, just like me. I know where mine comes from. I've said it 1,000 times. It comes from my daddy. Hey, Dad, are you gonna call me up and say you're proud of me? Do you see this list and this accomplishment and this accomplishment and this accomplishment? I'm 54 years old and I haven't heard that once. And so I start to take that into Jesus and I start doing that with God. And he's like, I'm not your earthly father. I am your heavenly father. And I will never let you down. And I love you whether you are good or whether you are bad, whether you're cantankerous or whether you are loving. I'm here in the thick and the thin. I'm here in the lowest valley. I'm here on the highest mountain. I will be with you to the bare. And I don't care what you think and I don't care what you do. I am always with you until the end. Can somebody say amen? He's already proved that he loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved you that he gave. He so loved you that he gave his one and only son. If you were the only one that existed, he died for you. You mean me, Pastor? absolutely you. And this is how we know what 1 John 4 says, and this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You want to know whether God loved you? He's already proven that he's loved you. He's telling us today, it's not anything to do with your performance. Now, let me caveat that by saying, there are consequences for your choices. And you will pay the consequence for those choices. You can't keep making stupid decisions and think that somehow God's going to bail you out of your crisis. There are consequences, but regardless of that, he will love us to the very end, regardless of where we are. And that's freedom. The more you love him, here's what you need to know. This is what I'm experiencing in my own life. The more that you fall in love with him, the more appealing that he becomes than all the garbage and all the sin and all that stuff that wants to call you becomes less inviting. The closer I get to him, it becomes so much more. I want more of him today, and that he accepts me just as I am. With all the craziness that I am, he loves me perfectly. And this is what this passage is talking about in verses 15 to 17. He's saying to Peter, Peter, do you love me? You know that I do. Peter, do you love me? You know that I do. Three times. Why? Because he denied him three times. It's pretty obvious. It's getting to the core of Peter's heart, because he knew what he'd already prophesied to Peter back in the day. And Peter, you are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. So stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get up. I love you. Let's get on with the mission. You with me? Loving Jesus is not based upon our performance. The key point is this: the love of Jesus is complete and is waiting upon our response. Let me give you the last point in this. We're still in verses 15 to 17, and that is this: loving Jesus enables us to love others. Loving Jesus enables us to love others. Somebody say, love someone. Say it again, love someone. And we see here that love is a verb. What does he say over and over again? Feed my sheep. What's he saying? Peter, love them. Teach my children. Come alongside my children. Help my children. Get into the messiness of my children's life. Be there for them, step by step and moment by moment. But here's what you must remember today. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. So it's impossible to love and to feed the sheep and care for the sheep if you haven't first experienced the love that changes us from the inside out. And once you experience that, it is completely a game changer. You remember in Matthew 25 when it says on the judgment day, it's like a shepherd separating the sheep from the goat. And the sheep didn't even know what they were doing. When he said, come into your kingdom, he said, you did it unto me. And they said, when? He said, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat, right? When I was naked, you gave me some clothes. When I was in prison, you visited me. When you did it unto them, you did it unto me. When I'm falling in love with him, all of a sudden I'm willing to love others and come alongside them. And Peter was mandated to love the sheep. Loving people in an agape way is always only possible once our hearts have been changed. Once we experience it, that's the only way we can get that point. And it's the only way that will check us from our motives of why we do what we do. He will guard us. Now, let me just say this about loving others. Loving Jesus is loving others is we failed as a church miserably at this, especially in the last several years. We've been more concerned about being right than we have been loving. We've been more concerned about winning a fight than loving. We've been more concerned, and you name the things over and over again, we have totally missed it. Those we disagree with, those who have treated us wrong, those who get in the way, I'm here to declare to you today that we are to love regardless of whether they love us, whether they like us, whether they hurt us. We are to love them. That is the answer. You don't believe me. Paul says what? I can preach, but it's only a clanging cymbal without love. I can give my body to the flames, but without love, it is nothing. You want to see love in action? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. And it is not self-seeking. Love does not delight with evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. Love never fails. Can I get an amen? So let's decide today, as we experience the love of knowing him, that then we can truly be willing to get into the messiness of other people's lives. That doesn't mean you have to have the answer. Doesn't mean you had to talk to him. You just need to be there. Proximity changes everything. Did you hear what I just said? Being present changes everything. When I'm present with you, and I don't mean just physically, I mean emotionally and physically. You've been around somebody that's there, but they're not there? How long did that conversation last for you? I am there 100%. What does it say? It says, I value you and I love you when I see you. You don't need a college degree. You don't need to have the Bible memorized. You don't have to be perfect in your life. All you need to do is encounter the love of Jesus that he wants us to have. And as a result, he then will transform us. What does scripture declare? They will know us by our what? Our love. Not about any other thing. It's the most powerful tool that we have. It's time for the church to rise up. It is the supernatural validates what we believe. We don't have to be as extreme as Jesus and Stephen while their enemies were killing them violently. They loved them. And they prayed for them. And they asked the Father to forgive them. You want proof of the power of the gospel? There's your proof. And what I would say to all of us today, ask yourself the question, how well do you love? It will be your metric of how well you know you are loved. Because once you know you are loved, then that changes everything. And your capacity supernaturally will be able to love people, even people that disagree with you, even people that stab you in the back. I'm not saying that you set yourself up to be abused emotionally or physically. Sometimes you have to love from a distance. But nonetheless, there is only freedom when we choose to be able to love and to forgive, because it's supernatural and you and I cannot go to the store and buy it. We cannot manipulate it. We cannot fake it. We either have it or we don't. And he is offering it to all of us today. Anybody ready to go there? The key point is this. Today's world is crying out for those who will love them unconditionally. Anybody believe that? The world is waiting. What a difference we'd make if we were able to gauge this. Now, having said that, as it relates to this passage, let me give you some practical next steps. I usually get too blessed at this time, I always forget them. Thank God you have notes. The next steps is basically this. We already said it. You and I have to come to the point where we are in a community group. We can't love Jesus by ourselves. You need to engage. Wednesday nights is an option for you. We offer classes, number three. Today, after this service, starting this week, we have adult Bible class. You probably didn't even know anything about it. You can grow and spend another hour here after service. I don't know which room they're meeting in, but I'm sure somebody can give you the answer to that. Just go back to the back and somebody would tell you. Maybe you can't go this week, but starting next week, put it on your schedule. We have to, and we do what we do. The things I'm telling you to do, we don't do them to earn his love. We do what we do because we already love him. You hear the difference? We do it because we want to nurture and grow because we already love him. We need to read scripture and pray. If you don't know how to do that, contact us. We want to help you. I'm going to give you the last point that I feel so passionately about as the next step, and that is we need to worship consistently with the greater church community, and if possible, in person. Here's why I say that. You know what they tell us now in America? The average person who calls a church home attends between one time every 5 to 6 weeks in person. That's less than 11 times a year. So that's going to change you, is it? Because everything else is a priority. I speak because I love you. You grow when you decide you're going to make this a priority. Let me remind you what scripture says. Let us not give up Let us not give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us meet all the more, and let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day of Christ approaching. Anybody believe that it's approaching? We're gonna need each other. Let's break that statistic at KCC. Let's be engaged and say we need each other. Can I get an amen? Can you bow your heads with me? And as the Brant and the team come out, let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would have this moment with us and you would do what it is that you need to do in our lives. And you would speak because your servants are listening. Your servants are listening. With every head bowed as Brant plays and every eye closed, I have a simple question for you. Do you want to love Jesus more? Do you want to know him more? Pastor, I just have done so many bad things. Come as you are. He's the only one that can clean you up. He loves you with all your scars. He loves you with all of your issues. He created you and he knows you. It all starts by saying, I want to love you more, Jesus. I want to know him. Is that you today? Here's what I want to do. I'm not going to call you to an altar today. But I'm going to ask, look up this way now, because it's always public. Is there anybody with God and everybody looking around? You would just stand where you are as a testimony to say, I want to love Jesus more. Is there anybody in the house? If there are, stand. I want to love Jesus more. You don't care about anybody else, what they're thinking. You care about yourself as it relates to your relationship with him. And online, can you just type in, if you're able, I want to love Jesus more. Lord Jesus, let's pray. You see all of those that are standing. We're sorry that we've made it so complicated. But today, we pray that you would enable us to know that the foundation is loving you. We're sorry for all the things that God has gotten in the way. We're sorry that we've gotten involved with the promotion of performing before you. Would you help us with that? And today we ask that you would enable us, as I preached about this supernatural experience, that God, right now, you would give everybody in this place a supernatural experience with you. Holy Spirit, come down with your spirit and touch their hearts. Touch their hearts right now. I claim it. By the blood of Jesus and the victory of Jesus, I pray that they would experience this thing called an incredible unction outpouring of them, that this would be a new day and a new moment for them, regardless of where they're at, regardless of their starting point, that something fresh and something new would happen to them this moment in their heart. Do exactly what you need to do. We truly, truly praise you for that. We want to love you at this moment. In Jesus' name.